Spectrum Business knows that small business owners put in the work. It's unlimited hours, unlimited effort, and unlimited passion, all to unlock the unlimited potential of your business. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and an unlimited mobile line, all only $49.99 a month. Learn how Spectrum Business can connect your business to unlimited possibilities at spectrum.com/business. It's your business made limitless. That's life, unlimited. That's Spectrum Business. Restrictions apply. Offer not available in all areas.
Wow. What is this place?
Welcome to Cloud 9.
How exactly did I get here?
You're a Toyota Crown Driver. And only Crown Drivers ever reach this level of pure bliss. The refined but elegant design makes you sit up a little straighter. It gives you a rush of confidence as soon as you're behind the wheel and a feeling of all eyes on you. That's how the Crown transports you here. It's pretty awesome, right?
The captivating Toyota Crown family. Toyota, let's go places.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Before we talk about new President Donald Trump, let's talk about his donor, the billionaire Elon Musk. I imagine many of you at this stage have seen the video of how he behaved last night at a victory celebration for the inauguration. Some of you may have seen still photographs, and some of Musk's supporters are comparing those to still photographs of other leaders, particularly those of the left, which they say could also be construed to have given a fascist salute. The issue is perhaps a bit more complicated than that because of a number of reasons. One, if you look at the manner in which the straight arm salute emerged, well, it's a little bit more problematic. And all of the other people who, from the left, who have been shown in comparative photographs, haven't been endorsing the likes of Stephen Yaxley Lennon, the political agitator and criminal who goes by the stage name of Tommy Robinson, and hasn't supported, and those people haven't supported the likes of the AfD in Germany. It's important to put Musk's recent behaviour in context when considering the images that we have witnessed and the video. Obviously, we can't show you the video. You can look it up for yourself easily online. But let's hear a little bit of the speech that Elon Musk delivered.
This is what victory feels like. Yeah! Elections, they come and go. Some elections are, you know, important, some are not. But this one this one really matters. And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you. My heart goes out to you. It is thanks to you that the future of civilization is assured. We're going to have safe cities, finally, safe cities. Secure borders, sensible spending, basic stuff. And we're going to take Doge to Mars. Can you imagine how awesome it will be to have American astronauts plant the flag on another planet for the first time? There need to be things that inspire you. There need to be things that make you glad to wake up in the morning and say, I'm looking forward to the future.
Just some of the highlights of Elon Musk's performance last night. Everyone is going for the line, my heart goes out to you, Cal, to justify the straight arm gestures. But I have to say, I did laugh at his contention that the future of civilization is assured. What did you make of his performance last night?
Matt, I am always amazed at the work you do to go out of your way to find something to blast Donald Trump. It is truly, truly amazing.
Sorry, I'm not talking about Donald Trump now. I'm talking about Elon Musk.
Association. Yeah, I know. But you know, in terms of the gesture, you know, I remember Busby Berkeley movies from the 1930s and 40s, and he was accused in some of his choreography with men in jackboot-type boots going up steps and raising their arms. You can see this kind of gesture in charismatic and Pentecostal churches. And how about Donald Trump, who clenches his fist a lot? When African Americans did this in protests, this was considered a good thing by many on the left. So I think we're making something out of nothing, frankly. If Musk wants to go to Mars, maybe he'll get the first Tesla dealership there. I don't know what the benefit would that be. We've sent satellites there. We've scooped up dirt there that's been examined. I mean, what's the future of Mars? It doesn't really have an atmospheric friendly venue, it seems to me.
But come back to the question that I put to you about Musk's behavior. The context for worrying about the straight arm gesture is the support of the likes of Tommy Robinson. I don't know if you know much about him, but he is an agitator, a convicted criminal for multiple crimes in Britain. He has been supported by Musk recently in an attempt to take out Nigel Farage as part of Musk's overall attempt to undermine the British government. Musk has been involved very much in supporting the AfD in Germany. That is the context in which people are looking at that. We're not talking Hollywood movies here, Cal.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're talking guilt by association, we can play that game with people on the left as well, from Joe Biden, from a number of other people. I don't think, he's not a member of the administration. There's no indication that any of his views or beliefs, other than economic ones, perhaps, are going to be influential to an administration that already holds those beliefs. So, I think he's done some crazy things, said some crazy things, and is just one step short of being crazy, maybe. But I don't see him as affecting policy or worldview when it comes to some of the subjects you've mentioned.
Okay, Marianne McKeown, what did you make of Musk's performance?
Okay, you know, I there was a politician once, I think it was Andrew Gillen, who said, look, you know, it's not for me to call you a racist, but if the racists think you're a racist, you know, if the racists think you're one of them, then you probably are a racist. And you can apply that to this, okay? So if you look at the Proud Boys Ohio chapter posted a clip of the Musk video on its Telegram channel with the text, Hail Trump! Exclamation mark. Okay, the white nationalist group, white supremacist group, White Lives Matter said, thanks for hearing us, Elon, the white flame will rise again. They're a notorious group. I can go on and on. The Christopher Palhouse from Blood Tribe, same thing again. And then Chris Hood, who founded the New England Race Separatist Movement, posted the clip. Andrew Torba, the guy who founded the platform Gab, said incredible things are happening already. Okay, so all of these extreme right, white supremacists have all endorsed this. They all sought for a neo-Nazi salute, for a Nazi salute, in fact, and they were cheering it on and saying, yes, this is the way we're going. You know, white supremacism is on the rise. So if these guys are seeing it for that, it doesn't really matter what you or I think. And I am appalled by the Anti-Defamation League, which came out with this mealy-mouthed thing saying, oh, maybe it was misinterpreted. You know, everybody stay calm. You know, this organisation, which has billed itself as the world's leading anti-hate organisation, said nothing about that orgy of hate in Madison Square Gardens that happened before the election, because they've all gotten caught up in these, you know, friends of Bibi Netanyahu politics now. And it's appalling what's happening. This should be called out. As I say, you know, you can say, oh, these left-wing people are always rushing and looking for a reason to cry fire. But as I said, if the people on the extreme right recognise this as one of their own, taking the stage and presenting a Nazi salute, then, you know, that's probably what the intention was.
Now, Marion, let's move on and let's talk about Trump himself and his actions since he has become president. What about clearing all of those who were facing trial or who had already been convicted in regards to the January 6th insurrection? Convicts who Trump described as, quite remarkably given what has been going on in Gaza in recent times, hostages.
Yeah, you know, where to even start with this? Over 1,500 pardons, including Enrique Torres, who boasted about masterminding the January 6th attacks, who boasted about smuggling guns into Washington, who would have been there but for the fact he was arrested 2 days earlier. You know, he received a 22-year sentence in September 2023, and he's now out of prison, fully pardoned. We saw already the QAnon shaman, as he called himself, Jacob Chamley, posting, now I'm going to go and buy some mother effing guns to celebrate. He'd already served his sentence. It's not just that these pardons, these people who were all in prison together, who were all helping to radicalise each other, they've all been released now, full pardons, which means they can own weapons again, they can own guns again. Stuart Rose wrote from the Oath Keepers, received a commutation. Everybody I've spoken to says that's going to be a pardon. You know, so it is shocking. And you saw police officers like Michael Fanoni, who was beaten, who had a heart attack when he was tasered with his own taser trying to defend the Capitol, beaten by six of those defenders. They've all walked away free. The same, you know, 140 police officers were seriously injured. They had brain injuries, they had eyes gouged, they had horrific things happen. And, you know, Donald Trump, supposedly the law and order guy, just pardons everyone without even looking, you know, no attempt to discern between violent and non-violent. We know at least 400 of those who were convicted, by the way, before a court of law. There was no absence of due process. They were arrested, charged and convicted. 400 of those at least were charged with assaulting or beating up police officers. They're all out now free. So it's just appalling, and it sends a real clear signal, which Donald Trump, you know, the first rally I went for Donald Trump back in 2015, when there was trouble, he said, you know, you beat those guys, you break the law, and I'll basically take care of you. I'll pay your legal fees. So from the beginning, he has sent the signal, if you break the law on my behalf, you know, I'll make sure you're okay. And the signal this is sending now to these far-right groups, again, that they're so re-emboldened, is just shocking. It's inexcusable.
Okay, Cal, because you saw, like we all saw, what happened in Capitol Hill in January 6, 2021. There have been documentaries made about it. We've seen all of the shocking footage. We saw the due process that was applied afterwards. So what do you think of Trump's decision to exonerate those who were clearly guilty?
Well, it may shock you, but I agree with some of what Marianne has just said. I've got a column coming on this Thursday in which I say I think the pardon power, although the Constitution grants the president absolute power, is overused. We had President Biden just before he left office, within minutes before he left office, pardoning his family. He commuted the death sentences of federal inmates who had killed even law enforcement officers. Trump had promised that he was going to examine these January 6 people on a case-by-case basis. Clearly he didn't, and I agree with Marion. The violent ones, the people who invaded and threatened Mike Pence, the vice president at the time, threatened his life, were okay with hanging him, who broke into Nancy Pelosi's office, then the Speaker of the House, and caused damage to that office. Those people deserve to be penalized. As far as the nonviolent ones, the people who were just there to engage in free speech, as long as they didn't break any laws, then I think that, you know, they could be granted some mercy and grace. But I don't like this blanket pardon business. And I think I think Marianne is right that it does sow disrespect for the legal system, which is already disrespected by a lot of people from what we call lawfare in this country.
Let's hear a little bit of Trump in the Oval Office last night criticizing Biden's decision to pardon his family literally within hours of leaving office.
I was surprised President Biden would go and pardon his whole family, because that makes him look very guilty. You know, I could have pardoned my family. I could have pardoned myself, my family. I said, if I do that, it's going to make me look very guilty. I don't think I'd be sitting here, frankly. If I did that, I don't think I'd be sitting here right now. So I was a little bit surprised that he did it, because it makes him look guilty. I mean, he's going to have to live with it. Now, with that being said, it's unbelievable precedent it creates for a president. But the precedent is unbelievable. Now maybe every president that leaves office, they're going to pardon every person they ever met.
Yeah, does it not create a precedent for Trump when he leaves office to pardon all of his children in advance if they end up using their positions to grift while he's in office? How bad, Marion, does this look for Biden, pardoning people who actually hadn't even been accused of anything? What has he got to fear?
Yeah, you know, I think it's wrong. I actually think that the right of a president, the unfettered right to issue pardons, should be taken out of the Constitution. It is disgraceful. It's been abused nonstop. Every president has abused it to some degree, and it's becoming more and more abused. And Trump, of course, takes it to a whole new level. I don't think Biden should have done it. You know, I mean, you can understand that if you believe that Trump, as he made clear, he was going to go after these people. He ran his campaign on retribution and revenge, and he presumably thought his family members might be vulnerable as well. But if they, you know, either you do something wrong or you don't. And now I know Anthony Fauci thanked Trump, so did Mark Milley. They don't want to spend their later years, you know, fighting court cases and being bankrupted by malicious prosecutions. But I'm really ambivalent about this. I don't think Biden should have done it. But anyone who thinks that Trump waited for Biden to green light his right to pardon whoever he wants is delusional. Trump is going to do whatever he wants. He needs no permission or signal from Joe Biden to do it.
Okay,
can
let's
comment on that.
Yeah, Cal, please.
Just very briefly, I've got my column on Thursday. I found this case, a Supreme Court case in 1915 called Burdick versus U.S. The court held that the confession of guilt is implied in the acceptance of a pardon and may be avoided only by rejecting it. After issuing a pardon to former President Richard Nixon, the Gerald Ford White House said that Nixon's acceptance of it was an admission of guilt in the Watergate affair.
Okay, let's move to other things. Marion, tell us about U.S. birthright citizenship and what Trump's executive orders are going to do to that.
Right. Okay. Very briefly, U.S. birthright citizenship is it's enshrined in the Constitution. Anybody who's born on U.S. soil is a U.S. citizen by virtue of the fact that they were born in America. That it's in the Constitution. That's how it is. But Trump appears to think that an executive order can trump what's in the Constitution. Now, at the moment, what his executive orders are saying are that anybody who's born, any child of an undocumented immigrant who's born in America will not have the right to be an American citizen. They cannot call themselves an American citizen, but also anybody, if you come here on a tourist visa, if you come here on a 3 or 5 year work visa, say for example, and you have a child in America, he is also saying that child will not be a citizen.
I'm sorry, Marion, is that not fair enough? I mean, we had a constitutional referendum here in the country about 20 years ago to actually stop automatic citizenship for children born here in Ireland to non-Irish citizens. Is this not the same? I know there's been countless Irish people have benefited from being able to return to America because they were born there for work reasons and the rest of it. But this is not a logical thing for Trump to do.
No, because it's in the Constitution. It's enshrined in the Constitution, and Americans decided, and you know, the people who drafted the 14th Amendment clearly decided that this was something that should happen. You cannot trump something in the Constitution with an executive order. However, I think that Trump has done this very deliberately because he wants the Supreme Court to get involved, because there will be a challenge, and I would not be at all surprised if the current Supreme Court says, well, you know, if you come into the country legally, then you cannot have a child and allow that child to claim citizenship. I think that this is a way, much as they did with the Dobbs case to overturn Roe v. Wade, that they're trying to get it into the court system in the hope that this Supreme Court will strike down that provision as unconstitutional.
Cal, what do you make of this?
Well, I think Marion's right. It is in the Constitution. The history is important to understand as well. Unrestricted birthright citizenship, this is from the Guardian newspaper, unrestricted birthright citizenship in the U.S. that includes people of color, not just white Americans, derives from the Constitution. In 1857, the Supreme Court ruled that black descendants of enslaved people could not be U.S. citizens. To right this injustice, just over a decade later, the U.S. ratified the 14th Amendment. So Marion's right, it is in the Constitution, and Trump is not going to be able to challenge it through executive order. This and some of his other executive orders, I think, are going to go to court.
Okay. Does he think, though, that he has the right to govern by way of executive order without regard to the Constitution, Cal?
Well, certainly Joe Biden has. I mean, this is one of the problems with executive orders, and I'm not a big fan of them. I think a lot of this stuff needs to go through Congress, our elected representatives. Otherwise, it sounds like a dictatorship. Biden undid Trump's earlier executive orders. Now Trump comes in and undoes Biden's executive orders, and the next president, if it's a Democrat, will probably undo all of Trump's executive orders. So this sows confusion and a disrespect for the law and the Constitution, in my view.
Okay, let's hear something else. Let's hear about the decision to exit the World Health Organization.
I do, but not when you're being ripped off like we are by the World Health. World Health ripped us off. Everybody rips off the United States. And that's it. It's not going to happen anymore.
That was when he was asked whether the World Health Organization had an important role in helping combat COVID-19. He turned it in, Cal, though, into this obsession that he has that America is getting ripped off by the rest of the world. What do you make of this?
Well, the fact is, if you read the executive order on this, and let me just quote from it, if I may, the United States noticed its withdrawal from the WHO in 2020 due to the organization's mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic that arose out of Wuhan, China, and other global health crises. Its failure to adopt urgently needed reforms and its inability to demonstrate independence from this inappropriate political influence of WHO member states. And then to the point you're getting at, Matt, in addition, the WHO continues to demand unfairly onerous payments from the U.S., far out of proportion with other countries' assessed payments. China, with a population of 1.4 billion, has 300% of the population of the United States, yet contributes nearly 90% less to the WHO. Same with the United Nations and other major institutions around the world.
So, Marion, is he rightly saving what he perceives as, if not just a waste of money, a perception that he's overpaying for the contribution to the WHO?
You know, this is ridiculous. And these are the ways in which China will gain more and more control and, you know, through diplomacy, through the power of its purse, through all these ways. America at the moment only pays about 18-19% of the WHO budget. It's about, what, 2 billion, not even, about a billion and a half a year or something. That's all they're paying. It's not some big fortune. And, you know, what happens if there's another pandemic? The WHO is not perfect. None of those organizations are. They're bureaucratic. They make mistakes. But what is the alternative if there's another pandemic? You know, where does the US stand? Well, of course, they'll have Robert F. Kennedy presumed as their health secretary, so God only knows where America will stand anyway. I mean, just the last 24 hours to me is just an indication of the chaos to come, and particularly with these plans, the mobilization of these immigration orders on the border. And, you know, I just want to point out one thing here, that there was a case in Nebraska in August 2018 where Trump, there was a plan directed to round up 133 illegal workers. It took 15 months for it to happen. It took two agencies for 133 illegal workers to be rounded up and deported. They are not going to be able to do this. What's going to happen is there's going to be chaos and cruelty, and families are going to be separated, children are going to be separated again. It's going to affect the economy. It's just going to be disastrous. So I really think we need to buckle up for the time coming. It's just going to be chaos, you know, round two, basically, but I think even more so this time.
We're going to be discussing tariffs and taxes with Ian Guider after 6 o'clock. So what I want to focus on now is TikTok. And again, when signing the executive orders in the Oval Office last night, Trump was asked about the future of the Chinese-owned app.
Depends on the deal. I mean, I may not do the deal or I may do the deal. TikTok is worthless if I don't approve it. It has to close. I learned that from the people that own it. If I don't do the deal, it's worthless, worth nothing. If I do the deal, it's worth maybe $1 trillion, a trillion. So if I do the deal for the, I'm talking about doing it for the United States. If I do the deal for the United States, then I think we should get half. I think the U.S. should be entitled to get half of TikTok. And congratulations, TikTok has a good partner. And that would be worth, you know, could be $500 billion or something. It's crazy. The numbers are crazy. But it's worthless if I don't, if the president doesn't sign, then it's worthless. If the president does sign, it's worth maybe $1 trillion. Yes, I have a warm spot for TikTok that I didn't have originally. But, you know, I went on TikTok and I won young people up by 36%, Peter. And Republicans typically don't do too well with young people.
What on earth is he talking about, Marion?
Well, let's take the last one first. He did not win young people by 36%. Kamala Harris, the age group between 18 and 39, and you might argue 39 does not constitute a young person, she won every one of those groups. She got over 50, 54, 55, 57% in each one of those groups. So where he's getting this 36% from, it's insanity. It's delusional again. It just did not happen. And we have to call these things out. I don't know what he's wondering on about half a million. I do know that one of his big donors, Larry Yass, is very heavily invested in TikTok and gave Trump a lot of money on the, you know, and presumably this is what he wants back, that he does not want TikTok to close in the US because he would lose his investment. You know, this will play out in the way that all things Trump will play out, that the people who give him money, it's pay for play, they will get the benefits. And if that's what they want, he will keep TikTok going in the US in some form. I mean, it was a ridiculous law anyway, to bring in that bipartisan law. It was really badly prepared. It shouldn't have passed, in my view. But now that, you know, Congress passed it, it is on the books and it should be enforced.
Carl, just getting away from that and back to something we discussed earlier, it's just news just coming in that attorney generals from 18 states have sued President Trump to block that executive order refusing to recognize US-born children of unauthorized immigrants as citizens. So I think this is a sign that the lawyers are going to do extremely well, aren't they, in the coming months and years, battling out whatever Trump tries to bring in.
And so are we, Matt. So are we.
In what way do you mean that?
We're going to have plenty to talk about. The checks will clear. Your ratings will go up. There'll be more and more listeners than ever. And we will not run out of things to talk about and write about.
Thank you both, Carl Thomas and Mary McKeown.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Dear Toyota, I need a word with you about your Crown family. Suddenly, I love traffic. Rush hour is my happy place. In the comfort of my Crown, I feel on top of the world. This is strange though, right?
The captivating Toyota Crown family. Toyota, let's go places.